Star Wars geek girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars. And sometimes cry.
Late 40s to figure out that I actually enjoyed doing that stuff. I just thought I couldn't. And I started making molds. Like my first mold I made was for Ketsu. It's Sabine's friend from Rebels. Saffy went as Ketsu to Orlando.
So and you never did that before. It wasn't like a skill that you already had.
No, I'm a math teacher by training.
Well, let's pause here for a second, though. Because you said you made Sabine.
Yes.
Zoe, how many Sabines?
How many do you have?
We're talking plural.
We have four at this point. There's five total.
I'm working on the fifth right now.
Technically.
Yeah, so it's not just that you've made Sabine. You made Sabines.
Technically, there's like 12 versions of Sabine if you count out all the tiny little swap piece parts. So technically, there's more. But like the basic ones, we have four out of five.
And again, I like with Sabine, and this is just how I do it, everything has to match the helmet. Like to me, I always have to start with the helmet. And I've had failures where I painted her one helmet. It was like a week before she had to wear it. When you did with, who's it, Steve Blum? Who's the guy that does that?
Steve Blum. And it was, there's Tim.
Yeah, she was hosting a panel. And she wanted the one costume. I painted the whole thing. The paint cracked. When I pulled the tape off to do the markings, it pulled sheets of paint off. Because there was some kind. And so it's just, I just stay up. Like if they have a costume due at a certain time, I'm like every reality costume show, I'm doing it like the night before, you know, like we were still putting snaps on her first Sabine the night at the hotel room. I haven't spray painted in a hotel room yet, but I'm sure that'll happen. 000 driving out to Chicago, a friend of mine, Gordon Tarplay, made the shorts. We had rubber shorts made for 000 so she would have more movement. They arrived on a Monday. No, they arrived on a Tuesday night. I spray painted them Tuesday night. We put them in the car Wednesday morning to drive, and we just opened the vents so we wouldn't die from the fumes. Yeah, so
hopping all the way to Chicago.
My wife puts up with, like, I've when I did Sabine the first time, and I did the Tusken Raider for Safi. It was December, super cold, so I could only spray something real quick in the garage and bring it, and the whole kitchen was just had different painted parts all over the, you know, and we just had that like aroma of spray paint. So my wife puts up with a lot of stuff when it comes to that. But my wife had the hard job because when they first started, when we would go to events, I put stormtrooper armor on. I can't help with the kids. You know, I can't bend down. I can't sit. So my wife had to do all the corralling of the kids in Jawas and stuff. And so, you know, she always liked to do it. She says she's not a fan as much as we are, but she knows enough more than most people. So she's just kind of like she's a behind the scenes kind of person. But, you know, she lets 3/4 of my house is Star Wars, so I can't complain. I mean, like I said, this is just one of our Star Wars rooms. I'm trying to recreate the back room of the Falcon in the room next door. That's my next big project after I get my drywall done. Is to build that couch with the table. That's my next big project.
So, Meech, you're the talented one here also. You've never thought of doing, you know, these big Star Wars mods in your house?
Talented. Well, thank you for that. So, let's see. Let's go back in history a little bit. When we were kids, there was a 3-year gap between films, right? Or 2 or 3 years. It was a long time. You had to wait. Thankfully, we had all the old Star Trek shows that were still played in syndication that we'd watch after school. So I developed a love for Star Trek and Star Wars. I know it's a little bit of, you know, heresy to talk about that on a Star Wars podcast, but it is what it is. So in the early 90s, I was super into Star Wars. I was excited. All the new toys were coming out. I was like obsessively buying all the toys that I couldn't have as a kid because similarly to Anthony, immigrant parents, not a lot of money. We didn't get that stuff. So when it came out, I was like, I'm going to buy all the toys I never had as a kid. And so I filled my apartment with that stuff. I stayed single for quite a while because of that, but it's okay. But no, I never made a Star Wars outfit, but I did make a Star Trek outfit. I made a Borg costume and I wore that to hand out candy one time and it terrified children. It was awesome. I was working at Warner Brothers at the time. So we had an amazing model shop. I had perfected my craft of kit bashing from, you know, making prototypes and things like that. So this thing was awesome. It had lights. It looked great. There's gotta be photographs somewhere. But yeah, after that, they're uncomfortable wear. I'm sure, you know, Zoe and Mike, you can attest to that. I'm a little claustrophobic, so putting helmets and things like that on, I don't want to keep them on very long. So yes, I could make things like that, I'm sure, not to the craft that you develop over time, but I haven't done it.
Well, that's what's nice about the fandom.
If you live around here, I think Mike would be able to kind of coerce you into doing that.
Well, the cool thing is, though, I mean, like, as industrial designers, you learn a lot of these things just in our schooling and in our trade. Now, granted, the things that kids are learning these days is so much more just digital behind a screen. You miss the hands-on aspect. You know, one of the key things that I learned in kit bashing, which was probably done in the 70s through the early 2000s, was using this stuff called rub and buff. You go and buy it from Michael's Arts and Crafts. The first thing you do is you spray paint everything flat black. And then once it's dry, you use your rub and buff pewter and you rub all the high surfaces. And what you end up with is this thing that looks like beaten weathered kind of like metal stuff. And it looks like it just came right off a Star Wars set. It's just little secrets. You only learn that from the guys that were doing these things in the 70s and 80s. You'll never learn that from someone nowadays.
Yep. Well, and that's what I know some of the people cringe when they see the way I do things, because like my training is like I learn from people like you, but a lot of it's just like, well, I think I need to try to weather it and it might go horribly wrong. And then it you know, like my copper 3PO here that is in the background, he was just a mistake because I was like out of gold paint. So I just had copper. I wonder how this copper spray paint lays. And that was, it was like cool. And then I had some turquoise craft paint. I was like, well, that would look like patina. And it came out. I don't think I can replicate what I did, but I just kept it. And I was like, well, he's my copper 3PO now. So.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. And like, as much as people have their own 3D printers and can like make exact replicas, it lacks a little bit of the handicraft. Like when the Millennium Falcon was made, we did a little post on our Facebook page a couple weeks back. Like they literally were pulling things off of model kits and sticking on. Like, I don't know, this looks pretty cool. And you've lost the, I don't know, it looks pretty cool because you're like recreating it in an exact. I think there's some artistry, like with my Borg costume again, like the eye, I took an old camera that I bought at a Salvation Army. I broke it. I used the lens and I put an LED behind it. And that's what made it look cool. Like you would never get that if you just like built it in SolidWorks and printed it out. It's just, it misses some of the artistry.
Well, we have that with the like RC-3PO that we built. The molds are made off of, we salvaged a bunch of parts and put them together. But the 3D printed C-3POs look really nice, but they're symmetric. And C-3PO, just like the Stormtroopers, was not, it didn't have symmetry because it was hand sculpted. So you can see that difference. But yeah, like I have a clone helmet back here. That's a mistake 3D print. So I was just like, I think it was the first time it snowed, didn't it, Zoe? We painted it up real quick and threw it out in the snow. The clone trooper, I just put a piece of cardboard with a printout of Darth Vader in the lens. So it looks like a reflection of Darth Vader standing there.
So you can mimic the last season of season 7.
And that was a helmet that it was a failed print. Because I like a lot of times I'll print stuff like right now I'm in a big pit droid printing phase. I can probably sculpt them, but pit droids don't mean enough to me to make one from scratch, but they're kind of cool to sit around. I still like the costumes. But yeah,
how long did it take you to print the pit droid?
It's a week.
Wow.
And it's what's nice about the pit droids, I try to support, like, the gentleman who makes the files. I always try to buy, like, I try to buy my files, and if I can, I try to buy them, like, license-free. Yeah, there's Zoe has a pit droid right there, and that's one of them. I try to, you know, pay the artists for what they do, but a lot of times I try to buy license-free stuff. Like, they'll, you pay more, but then you can make copies. If I have to put all that work into a helmet to make it smooth, because 3D prints, I hate seeing print lines. To make it nice and smooth, I want to put it, make a mold out of it. And then the you know, the our armor parties, we tend to make less armor and just hang out. We, like last time, we just rented a slushy machine and we all got freezer head and drank slushies. And we have a friend that does a Chewbacca. Marty Miller does a Chewbacca that it would rival the movie Chewbacca's. Like, you know, his Chewbacca is beautiful. And then we have Dan, who does a C-3PO, who his C-3PO is spot on. There's very few people that can wear the C-3PO. I can't put my face in the C-3PO mask. I got too fat of a head.
Yeah, I was gonna say they don't make really fat robots.
No. There's some guys, there's like a 6'2" 000 in New York. And his 000 is really nice, but he scaled it up. And I saw pictures of it. It was beautiful. And then I saw him standing next to Vader, and he looked like he could, like, bench press Vader. So it's all what you're – I'm short. I'm 5'10", so I luck
– 3PO?
I luck out as a stormtrooper. I'm, like, the right height, but they always stick me next to Vader because I make Vader look taller. So I always luck out when we have photo shoots and they need stormtroopers next to Vader. But it is nice. It's a nice mix. I always like when it's people like you guys that are trained in art and design and stuff like that, when I run into them and we're working on stuff, because they always help us out. Because again, I might take, if you watch me, my friends, when I used to work on cars, used to call me a motorcycle mechanic, which is not an endearing term. It just means you don't really know what you're doing when you're working on cars. And sometimes I feel like that when I'm making costumes, that someone's watching me and like, they could probably do that a slightly easier way. So, but you know, I just have fun with it. I mean, I spent all day out in my garage just working on stuff, and I'm gonna probably do the same thing tomorrow, just to get some, you know, get a few things done. I gotta keep Zoe in her costumes. Star Wars Geek Girl needs her Sabines, and Ken, I still haven't seen any completed armor of yours yet.
Well, I've got my Mando. My Mando's now official.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, my Phasma inspired Mando is official.
Wait, but weren't you working on a guard?
I was thinking about it.
Oh, okay, that's the one. Yeah. I think I saw the Phasma inspired one, but I thought you were making like a Temple Guard esque type one.
Yeah, that one's kind of still in the brainstorming phase.
Oh, okay.
of that, because like you, I'm not a seamstress. I don't have great skills sewing, and with a Temple Guard, there's a lot of soft parts to that. So
yeah.
So one of the things that we usually do when we wrap up our episodes is we show appreciation to the makers. We thank the makers for the things that they've shared with us. And would you guys mind staying in that idea and sharing some thanks and appreciation? Who would you thank, Zoe?
Oh, you're muted.
Sorry. Obviously, George Lucas is like the maker. But I think like Dave Filoni for me is really a very strong guiding force for the Star Wars I hold most dear, which would be Clone Wars and Rebels. And I think just the way he kind of his own interpretation of the sacred text of Star Wars and the way he incorporates that, and you know, not only builds off of what that was, but then at the same time creating whole new things. I think I'm really appreciative of with him.
The student has become the master.
Yes, I do. I'm looking at your notes here to make sure. And you did say, remind me to share my most recent interpretation of the prophecy of the one.
Oh,
so that here's the reminder that you.
Oh, wanted. Thank you for that. So this may come as a surprise to all of you, but I think about Star Wars a lot. And so they say that the prophecy may have been misread. What are your thoughts on the idea that each of us, every single creature, every single alien, every single person is the one that they were talking about? And so if each of us can individually choose to balance the force, then that will balance the force. So in all of our choices, all of our decisions, we're working to keep that light and dark in balance, that we can be the one to help. So each of our individual efforts will balance the force for all of us.
Well, I heard and try to live by a statement. I don't remember how long ago I heard this, but it basically went like this. When given the choice between doing what is right or what is kind, go with kind. And I try my hardest to live by that, even though sometimes it's difficult, but it feels like it's in the spirit, right? It's trying to think about the bigger picture, trying to take into account humility and empathy, and try to just connect with the other and look at something bigger than yourself.
Yeah, I really like that interpretation of it, I think, of like, of everyone bringing balance to the force. And it does kind of ring true to, I think, like the rise of Skywalker, because Rey doesn't really defeat Palpatine on her own. She has the encouragement of all these other Jedi, and like literally their encouragement. And I think she has the emotional encouragement of her friends, of Finn and Poe and Janna and Rose. And I think like everyone, you know, even if she technically did, was the one that like defeated Palpatine and brought balance to the force in like some way. I know like generally it's considered Anakin did that, which I lean more towards too, but like she had that, you know, all these people working together was what inspired her to do that. So I think I like that interpretation of the prophecy a lot. I think it does ring true to Star Wars.
You look lost in thought, Mike.
Well, I always thought of the balance of the force as one of those things where George Lucas put those words in. Like, I think of what he talked about, the force being in everyone and every living thing. And some people thought of the balance as, oh, look, there's five bad guys and five good guys. There's a balance. Or there's two and two. There's a balance. And I always think of it in a living organism, the balance of your life is no sickness. You know, there's no evil. And that would play into what you're saying, because if everyone in the time, George, and this is just me thinking out of universe, in the time George Lucas was writing that stuff, and it was right, or, you know, that was a weird time in the world. It was like, I can't remember when Phantom Menace was, right before 9/11. Was that 99 when it came out?
It came out in 99, but he had been working on it for several years before that.
Right. But the world itself was like, you could see that, like, we went from the Cold War where it was a balance, whether we liked it or not, you know, and then it went to this kind of like there was, I just remember at that time, it was a weird time of, you felt peace one minute, and then the next minute you thought the world was going to end. Where at least during the Cold War, you're like, well, if we got the guys who might end it, we're at least watching them. Where in that time period, you didn't know where it was coming from. So, like, I do like that idea of that if everyone would have taken that advice, both in our universe and the Star Wars universe, that you don't need a savior. You don't need Anakin Skywalker to save you, because, you know, and then it goes into what Zoe was saying. But I do like that translation. I'm sorry, I'm a very wordy person to say.
No, it makes perfect sense. And think about it just like this week, you know, so right. People made that decision of, instead of harming, helping, instead of condemning, supporting, you know, that can ring through, you know, in the Star Wars universe and, you know, in our own neighborhoods.
Well, and Star Wars brings, I still think about the people that I know now, that I hang out with now. There's no way I would have ever met them if it wasn't for Star Wars. I would have never met you, Ken. You know, that's, I mean, sure. I like, what's the chances of, you're from Jersey, I'm from the middle of Pennsylvania, that we were at the same armor party, which wouldn't have existed if we didn't have Star Wars.
Very true. Anthony and I wouldn't be hanging out. I wouldn't be friends with Demetrius right now if it wasn't for bumping into Anthony next to the Star Wars toys.
Maybe G.I. Joe podcast then.
We're going back to thank the makers. who we're thanking at the end, and I go back to Zoe and Mike. I think you guys are the ones I admire as much as the makers of the actual show, because you keep it alive and you make it, you know, the show only comes on for 10 weeks during the year, but you guys make it for the other, the rest of the year. And I think I want to thank you guys, because you are the reason all this stuff is great, because without sharing it with people like you, it doesn't mean anything, you know? So thank you guys, and thank you for coming on the show. I can't tell you how thrilled I am to have you guys on here. It's fantastic.
So thank you again. A possible invitation to be on another episode, because we have, you know, plenty in the pipeline, and we often like to be thematic, like tonight, where we talk about a theme, or we like to talk about an item or a single character.
Well, I think we're going to have Hez Chorba on the next one from Lucasfilm, so that's going to be exciting.
That's awesome.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, thank you for all that. I mean, I'd like to thank like the makers and again, like you guys with this podcast, all the people that did positively like create Star Wars in their own way, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a costume, whether you're making a costume for your kid because they want a character that no one makes. I've been in that situation many times. And, you know, it's that keeps it so simple, you know, and you guys are inspiring me and Colin to get off our butts and get our podcast back up and running, because I think we're on 22. You guys are going to pass us soon, because you know, we finally got ours. We're not nearly as organized as you. I think I'm a better telling of what you should do. I used to teach podcasting years ago, and I tried to have Zoe do it how I taught it, and I learned that I was teaching podcasting wrong. Because I came from the old school when podcasts first came out. They're like, you have to have a script, can't have any airtime. You know, it was like old 1950s news. And Zoe proved me wrong on all of that. And I threw all that out when I teach podcasting now.
You got us started. I mean, we didn't know what we were doing at all. So thank you for that too.
Well, you guys have well surpassed what we do. And, you know.
And you know what? Like, we also got started from other podcasters. Yep. You know, Mike Pilot, who's also a Pennsylvania podcaster, he was a big help to us in the early days. Brian Young as well, who's also from Full of Sith, from that podcast, was a big help. Jonah Marie Macias, who I recently podcasted with, she was a big inspiration for me getting into podcasting. And then and then obviously, you know, Lizzie's dad, Sal, was on a podcast then, which I don't think runs anymore. He's on this like different podcast now, but
yeah.
He, you know, was a really great guide teaching us, helping us, you know, get podcasts together. So, you know, it's all about giving back.
Before we go, Mike said something that I really kind of struck a nerve about creating costumes for your kids. You know, when we went to Star Wars Celebration one year, we didn't, you know, the kids are kind of in that weird age where they're too big for the last year's costume, but maybe too small for another one. And it's, we created a couple of mix and matches. Like, we created Darth Awakius because we had an Ewok outfit. And
that's cool.
But those are some of my favorite, and I know you guys have seen it, right? Those are some of my favorite costumes at Star Wars Celebrations, are the ones, the mix and match ones.
Yep. Now, I wonder how close we came together in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
Like, because we were all over the floor. And now you wonder, like, was I just, like, I wasn't all gray bearded and everything, but I was usually either with 000 or Sabine. But I just wondered, like, were we in line? Did we walk past each other?
Oh, yeah. Did you go back through all your photographs?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Mike Pilot, who I mentioned earlier, didn't you take a picture and or something, and he was like, right, like, I think it was at Orlando.
Yeah, Mike Pilot and I were texting at Orlando, and he's like, again, Orlando was a little weird because my wife's mother died like that Saturday night, and we were trapped because it was Easter weekend, so we couldn't, we were stuck. So it was like a weird time. But Mike Pilot, who I got to know, we were trying to meet up, and we couldn't find each other, and literally, he was like 5 feet away from me because we didn't know the area. It's just weird. You know, when you come close to people like that. So yeah, I have to go through my pictures now. But
the stars have aligned for us. And you know, to Anthony's point, I want to thank both of you. And for me, with tonight's theme, I want to thank my family, both my blood family, the ones that I had very interesting experiences with, my dad who bought me my first Star Wars toy, which was a old school chicken walker with a button in the back that made his legs go, to my new extended family, which has grown in amazing ways, and I hope that the four of you are okay with me calling you a portion of that extended family. So thank you for an awesome evening and just being awesome, period.
Well, thank
thanks,
you,
Ken, and thanks Zoe and Mike.
Yep, thank you guys. Thank hey you and, so and you're all welcome to my house. I mean, I know you're in California, but if you're ever in Quarryville, Pennsylvania, we do get to Jersey once in a while though. What's the town Jordan's in?
Wherever Jordan's
West,
store is.
West something, I don't know.
We're near the south, we're near Ocean City.
Oh yeah, no, we're up above Manhattan. Westwood. Okay. We go down we did go down to the the comic store, Kevin Smith's comic store.
Red Bank. Yeah, Red Bank.
Yeah, we went down there the last day they were open. And I wound up buying a Star Wars West End Games Player's Handbook from them. Because they were all tore apart. I was like, do you have anything Star Wars? He's like,
they moved locations. Not the last day they're open.
Period. No.
Last
day
their last location was open. I think their new location's open now.
Yeah, I went to that new relocation a couple of weeks ago, and I got all the Dr. Aphra compilations.
Nice.
Pretty cool.
Did you listen to the audio book of Dr. Aphra?
I keep seeing that everywhere. Let me write it down.
You have to listen.
It's really so good. I love
because
it.
Because it's
I'm gonna write it down.
You know how when Lando was recording his like thing, basically listening. You're listening to her recording, and then it goes into the story. So it's more cool. it's like a radio drama, and it's
like all the sound effects and
yeah. I just wanted to hear what 000 sounded like because I'm trying to get Safi to talk when she's in the costume. And I wanted to see what 000 sounded like. And he sounds like, this will really age me, he sounds like a cross between C-3PO and Dr. Smith from the original Lost in Space.
Oh, that Dr.
Smith. Danger Will Robinson.
Yeah. He sounds like a combo of that, the 000 does. So it's well worth a listen. I don't know if it's a news story or if it interweaves through the comic books. I don't, you know, because some of it sounded familiar to me. But it's well worth a listen.
I'm gonna write it. Yeah, I'm gonna go find it right after this.
So, and then you know if you, we can always have 000 come down to Maryland. You just give me an event in Maryland. You find that we'll get 000 down once all this COVID stuff.
Oh, Jersey. Away. We're not in Maryland.
I mean, Jersey. Yeah. Sorry. I work in Maryland.
Yeah.
Well, we're not. Zoe's not far from you guys at all.
No. Like Philadelphia. She's probably in the middle.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Only about like 50 minutes away.
Yeah.
But. So do we do Demetrius the wrap up? Do we do you? Yeah.
I didn't, but if it's too out of order at this point, then no, I don't well, have no, to.
It's not out of order.
All right. I mean, for me, it's funny. I'm still a little bit on cloud nine, having just come back from Death Valley. So I would actually like to thank the National Park Service for putting actually on their website the sites where Star Wars New Hope and Return of the Jedi were filmed so that I could go for my first time and actually feel like I was there. It was.
Did you see Mos Eisley? Did you see Mos Eisley?
You know what? If you squint.
Yeah. We went there. We took the girls there.
Yeah, Zoe was talking about that before we just hit record it. I mean, wow.
When we drove out, we took a road trip to California, and Death Valley is still my favorite place ever.
Yeah, like we were there for 4 days in total. We drove 736 miles, I think I counted, just in and around the park. I mean, it's that huge of a park. It's the size of the state of Connecticut. It's the biggest national park in the continental U.S. And to be able to go back and see some of the sites and recognize them, like, oh my God, I'm like actually here. It felt real. I don't know.
What was your favorite? Which one was your favorite?
Either the Mosaic Canyon or the Mule Canyon, the 20 Mule, I think it was called. And I'm blanking on the names.
Well, which location, like which part of the movie?
We don't know the locations. Like, what Star Wars is it?
Oh, yeah. It's all Tatooine. It's like basically the spots where Obi-Wan found Luke after he'd been kind of clubbed by the Tusken Raiders, or the sand dunes where C-3PO and R2-D2 were sort of rolling after they landed in the escape pod. Just like to see that stuff and go, oh my God, that's like that was that. Yep. Like I'm here. This is amazing.
My favorite was, I don't know what it was called, but where they put Jabba's palace, where C-3PO and R2 were rolling up to Jabba's palace. Yep.
Went there that also.
And so you took pictures of your toys there, didn't you?
I did. I nerded out and I took my own R2 and C-3PO from when I was 5-6 years old, and I got shots of them and posted on our Facebook page.
And we went to the, what's it, Dante's Peak.
Yeah, we were gonna go there on our last day, but it was starting to get too dark, and we just kind of burned out of driving by that point.
Yeah, it's quite a drive up there.
I had to turn the heat on in the car to keep it from overheating. Because I don't know what the temperature is there now, but when we went, it was 125 or something like that.
Oh my goodness!
So like if you once you were out taking pictures, you could take about 10 pictures and then your phone would overheat just from the sun hitting it.
Wow!
Because we went in, what was that, July?
Oh, that's miserable. Yeah, no, it was. Oh.
You just take a trip to the sun?
Yeah, basically it was 95, 97, and 99 for our 3 days actually in the park. So it was hot, but bearable.
Yeah, we just went through one because we drove from PA to California to Anaheim.
That's insanity. What'd that take you, like 2 weeks?
No, we left on a Thursday night. We stopped at
a couple
Death parks, Valley. Like Arches. We stopped at Death Valley and the Arches. We were in Anaheim Monday.
He used to be a truck driver, so
yeah, I had a short stint as a truck driver in Manhattan, and I used to have to drive these weird routes. So, like, I think I drove like 20 hours before we first stopped, you know, because we just wanted to take a trip, like something to do, you know, and my wife was kind enough to let me plan it. So our plan was, we got in our car and we put it in the iPhone where we wanted to go. And that was it. There was no other planning. We didn't have a hotel booked. We just drove. And then when we got out of one of the parks, we're like, we got to get a hotel. So we got a hotel in that town right outside of Death Valley.
Oh yeah. It looks like a little like old West town. It's like they got like cowboy stuff everywhere.
Oh yeah. Beatty. It's up on the northern side. Yep.
And then we got a hotel at, in Anaheim, but and then going home was a little tougher because we were on adrenaline, happy to go on the way. And going home, we went the southern route, and that was just like, I just want to get home.
We stopped at the Grand Canyon on the way home.
We stopped at the Grand Canyon, but I was still more impressed with Death Valley. I just thought Death Valley was just because it was so stark, and because of Star Wars, but also because it was just, you had to look for beauty, and when you found it,
it was so otherworldly. There's like nothing there. It's just crazy.
How many pictures did you end up taking? Because I know you really like taking pictures, Demetrius.
Over 100 for sure. I don't know. I captured a lot. I didn't post all of them. I'm one of those that like takes a picture and then like, oh man, 3 feet over is an even better shot. And then 2 feet over and lower is a better shot. So I've got a lot of those kinds of things, but I tried to capture it. The thing is with the distances, you can't grasp in a photo what's happening, right? Like, it's basically a series of dried lake beds that have this very gentle arc that from one end to the other are several miles long. And at the edge of those are roads that gradually grade up the hillside. And so you'll go up those and not really realize how high you're going until you're at the top and you look down, you're like, holy crap, I feel like I'm in an airplane right now. Because that next valley, it just drops and falls away. And it's just like, whoa, it's just mind blowing.
I just remember they said, take a case of water with you if you're going to drive around. And we took a case. We're like, we're not going to drink that. We drank it all, like, just even with the air condition on. Yeah, it was such a, it was, you know, I'd like to go back. We, I don't know what, you know, it all depends on what happens with the next celebration and my work schedule. Zoe will be out with you though, in out in California in 2022, right?
2022. So. LA semester.
Yep.
Gotta get there any way we can.
Yeah.
That wraps me up.
Well, thanks again, guys.
Yeah, this is fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we can't thank you enough for joining. Thank you, guys. It was amazing.
Awesome. You guys are super. All four of you.
Well, until next time.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you, guys. I'll see you, Zoe.
And also with you.
So long, guys.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Star Wars Geek Girl. It's an odd episode, and me and Zoe were guests on the podcast, The Forces Behind Star Wars Podcast. And it was a privilege to be interviewed by Ken, Anthony, and Demetrius. So if you want to hear the whole episode, you can find it on The Forces Behind Star Wars Podcast. It is their episode 15. It's on iTunes or wherever you find your podcast. Or we're going to run, we split it up into three episodes, and we're going to run the next two back to back on Star Wars Geek Girls Podcast. So thanks again for listening, and check out their podcast. Thanks again to Ken, Anthony, and Demetrius for having us on.
Star Wars Geek Girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars. And sometimes cry.